Welcome to Elam this morning. Today is going to be a little different service. Martin was away, so the mice are going to play. just kidding. we have a heart for just growing together and not just doing things the same way every time. And so we're going to do things a little different today. And if you're a guest with us, just know that. And if you are a guest with us, we want to say thank you for coming. There's a guest card in the seat back. You can fill it out. Let us know that you're here. That'd be great. But as we go through this service, there's going to be speaking and singing. And there's also going to be times of just personal prayer, times of corporate prayer, times of reflection. So, so it's going to be a little different today. Let's just pray and give this time to God. God, thank you for your love for us. Thank you that you're present with us. Thank you that we can gather together in your name. Lord, meet with us today. In your name I pray. Amen. In the nation of Israel's history, and to this day, there's these special celebrations, special feasts, and they still celebrate them today. One of the special feasts that the nation of Israel celebrate is Yom Kippur, and Yom Kippur is the Day of Atonement, and it's a really special day for them. In history, it was the one day that the high priest could enter the Holy of Holies. And when God set up the nation of Israel, he told them, hey, build a tabernacle. And the tabernacle was this a temporary tent building with a courtyard and one large building. And later, Solomon built a temple. And this tabernacle had a courtyard and then had a large tent, and the tent was separated into two different rooms. The first room, the holy room, and then the second room, the Holy of Holies. And those two rooms were separated by a veil, and that veil it was like 3 inches thick. It was a thick veil. And in the Holy of Holies is where the Ark of the Covenant was. There were some other things in there, but the Ark of the Covenant is where God dwelt among his people. So in the Holy of Holies, it was this place that was sacred. And the high priest couldn't go in any time. No one else could go in, but the high priest couldn't go in any other time but on this Day of Atonement. And it wasn't like on the Day of Atonement he could just walk in there. He had to do a lot of things to prepare to enter in to the Holy of Holies. So when it was the Day of Atonement, the high priest would have to first, before he goes into the Holy of Holies, would have to bathe. He would have to get clean. And then he had to put on special clothing. And the high priest, as it was, already wore special clothing, but he couldn't wear that in the Holy of Holies. He had to wear linen, white linen. And he had to make sacrifices before he could go in of bulls and goats. And he had to prepare to go in because this place was such a special place. It was a sacred place that you had to enter in a certain way. One of the things he did before he went in is he tied a rope around his ankle. Because if he walked in and he didn't, and his sins weren't atoned for, if he didn't make the sacrifices, if he didn't do what God had asked him to do before he goes in, he would die. And no one else could get him. They'd have to pull him out. So this is this sacred room, and the high priest was the only one to go in. He was the mediator, because what he was doing is he was making a sacrifice on behalf of the nation to atone for the sins of the nation. So the nation of Israel needed a mediator, and the high priest was that mediator. Let's look at Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10:19 says, therefore, And again, when you see the word therefore, you always have to ask the question, what is it there for? And therefore is a connecting word, and it's connecting to the passage above. And the passage above is just talking about how priests every day would make sacrifices on behalf of the people. Day after day, they'd make sacrifices. But Jesus, once for all time, sacrificed himself for us so that we could have forgiveness of sins. And so he's saying, okay, because of that, therefore, because of what Christ has done, brothers, since we have a confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the household of God, we're going to stop right there, and it keeps going. But what he's saying is, you had the Holy of Holies that was separated, but because of what Jesus did, we can now boldly enter. See, when Jesus died on the cross, when he said, it is finished, and he gave up his spirit, the veil tore, the 3-inch thick veil tore from top to bottom. And Jesus made a way so that we could enter the throne room of God in a way that no one else could ever do it. Think of it this way. When we come together right now, we are in the presence of Almighty God. When we sing, think about how we are in His throne room, singing praise and adoration to Him. Because we can boldly go into His presence now because of what Jesus has done. See, we're in the presence of God, whether we're at home, whether we're here. Everywhere we go, we can be in the presence of God. And it's through what Christ has done. But especially right now, I want you to think, as we sing and as we talk throughout this service, think about the fact that we can now go into the Holy of Holies, into the presence of God, boldly, with confidence, because Jesus died in our place. He is our mediator and high priest who made the sacrifice for us to be able to go. So as we sing, think about the fact that we're in the presence of Almighty God. We can boldly enter the throne room of God. And because we can boldly enter the throne room of God, it should compel us to a couple things. And we find the first thing in Hebrews 10:22. Hebrews 10:22 says, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with a pure water. See, being able to boldly enter the presence of God should compel us to draw near to Him. It should compel us to draw near to Him. Jesus made a way for us to have an intimate relationship with God through His death, burial, and resurrection. And we need to draw near to Him with a sincere heart. And what the author means there is we need to draw near to God with all that who we are, with our whole being. Not holding anything back, but going towards Him. Drawing closer to Him in relationship. And it's because we can enter boldly that we're able to draw near to Him. Because our guilty conscience is done away with. He's forgiven us. When we put our faith and trust in Christ for the forgiveness of sins, He takes our sin and washes them away. And that guilty conscience, that sin that separated us from being able to go into His presence, is forgiven. And we can boldly approach and we can draw near in a way that others can't. So it should compel us to draw near. And that next part is a little sticky. What is it talking about, the washing with the pure water? And what it's talking about there is, as we draw near to God, we seek to honor God and live obedience to God. And one of the things that Christ has told us is, hey, baptism is a showing of the community of faith that this is the faith that I claim. It's an identification. So he's talking about baptism here, and baptism is an identification with the death, burial, and resurrection, where when we go under the water, it's as if we're going into the grave, and when we come out, it's about the resurrection and how he is alive. And we have this new life. And that's what's being talked about. So in faith, we draw near to God and we respond in baptism. And it has nothing to do with our salvation except for it's an outworking of, because I put my faith and trust in Christ, I get baptized. And we're going to have a baptism service on Easter. So if you want to be baptized, come talk to me, talk to Nate, talk to Martin. We'd love to talk through that with you. And it's that, if you haven't been baptized, it's that just a step of saying, this is the faith that I claim. And I'm going to draw near to God and I'm going to live in obedience to him, because he says, hey, be baptized. So, like I said, if you want to be baptized, talk to Martin, Nate, or I. But this whole drawing near to God, we're all at just different places in that. And you know where you are in your relationship with God. So for some, you don't feel that close. For some, you feel, I feel really connected to God right now. And that's the spectrum. And what I want to do now is I want us to have a time of prayer, silent prayer, where you know where you are with God. We can boldly enter the throne room of God, and it may be that you need to spend some time confessing some sins. It may be that you need to spend some time crying out to him, God, I need you right now, and I don't know what's going on, and I just feel distant from you. But however you need to draw near to God this morning, we want to give you a little bit of time. Brian's going to play on the piano. So if you hear music, it's not because it's over. But just draw near to God in prayer, silent prayer on your own. And however you need to do that, whether it's in silent confession, in confession or crying out to God, whatever it means right now for that you need, however you need to draw near to God, just take time and pray. See, not only can we can boldly enter into his presence, into the throne room of God because of what Jesus did, and that should compel us to draw near to him. But it should also compel us to what's found in verse 23 of Hebrews 10. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. See, without hope, there's despair. And we've probably met people who feel like they have no hope and they live in despair and they think their life isn't going that well. They look at all the negative and they're focused on the negative. And because we can boldly go into the presence of God, because he is faithful, we have hope. And again, we have a hope that others don't have. And I think sometimes when we use the word hope, we use it in the idea of maybe this will happen. And the word for hope there isn't that. The word for hope literally means joyful and confident expectation of eternal salvation. Joyful and confident expectation of eternal salvation. Joyful and confident expectation. Hope is, I cannot wait for this to happen. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I know it is. See, and we have this hope because we have a faithful God who said, hey, the things that I've promised, they're going to happen. So I don't have to live in despair. I don't have to live in, my life. No, think of the hope that we have to come. Because that's what matters. This is just temporary. This isn't our home. And so we have this hope, this confident expectation of what is to come. Like, why are we here? Because God made us. Where are we going? Well, when we put our faith and trust in Christ, we go be with Jesus. You know, when I think about this hope, I think of my dad. And my dad has cancer, and it's incurable. But what I know to be true is I've got a great healer in heaven who said, I will heal him. It may not happen on earth, but my dad will run and jump and be alive forever with his Savior. And that's the hope that we have. See, when we get focused on the here and now, we forget about the greatness of our God and the faithfulness. He is faithful to do what he said he's going to do. So we can confidently go into the throne room of God and draw near to him and remember the hope that he has, or that we have, because of what he's done. So right now, I want us as a community of faith to pray prayers of hope of what's to come. And so what that looks like is, if you could just stand or raise your hand, and we'll pass the mic. And the reason we pass the mic is because that way everyone can hear and engage with us in this prayer time. And so if you have a prayer of hope of what's to come, just raise your hand or stand, and I'll bring a mic to you. And we're just going to have a time of us praying together as a community of faith. Remember, this is about God. This isn't about us and our insecurities. This is about him. And so if you want to pray, great. If you don't, that's great. But if you are going to pray, raise your hand and I'll bring a mic to you. So let's pray some prayers of hope. And Larry, will you start for me?
Father in heaven, we open a newspaper or we turn on the news and we don't have much call for hope there. We see wars and disasters and ISIS and all the things that cause us anxiety. But Father, if we open your word, if we look to the revelation of what's to come, we see you sitting on a throne high above everything that's happening here, overlooking a glassy sea, and on the shore, millions of your angels and your servants together raising their voices in praise. You have overcome all that's here, all that we're going through, not just the news and the bad news, but even at the end of our very lives, the death that we all face. You have overcome that. It's a done deed. And Father, we have the hope, even as we celebrate, like yesterday with Helen's service, there were tears, but there was celebration that we have hope. We know that Helen is walking with you right now. And Father, we will join her someday. We'll see her again. And because of what you have done for us on the cross, we have, as Brian said, that sure knowledge that these are things that we don't simply hope for, but that we look forward to in joyful expectation. Thank you for the hope that you have given us, which is like your peace that passes all understanding. It's a hope that passes all understanding. It's a hope for a future with you that we have no idea what's in store, but it's beautiful. And Father, we will see your face. We will worship you face to face. And what a glorious way to look forward to eternity. Thank you for the hope that you've implanted within us. May it truly change our hearts. For in this hope we were saved, but the hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they have already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. Lord, give us the patience to hope on you and to point that hope out to others. In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah to the Lamb.
Lord, we come to your throne room of grace, and we ask that you would heal Brian's father, and we know that we'll worship you regardless of what your sovereignty is, God, but we know that the power that raised Christ from the dead can heal Brian's father and anybody else. Amen.
Heavenly Father, I'm just thankful that we have that hope in your Son. And Lord, as Larry mentioned, when we celebrated Helen just yesterday, she had absolute trust in you, knowing that you held the future. Father, help us, encourage us, make us bold as we share that beautiful hope with others. Father, we want others to hear about your mercy and grace and that hope that we so enjoy. So, Father, be with us as this congregation. Let us live as Helen did, trusting God, knowing that hope deep within us and wanting to share that with others. And I pray in Jesus' name.
Father, I pray for those who are feeling condemned. You have told us that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And any condemnation that they are overwhelmed with, Father, I pray that you take that away from them. Because if they know you, they know the God of hope. And the God of hope for the next life, and the God of hope even for this life, that they don't have to live under that weight that you have taken away. Father, I pray that you do that, and I pray that you do that swiftly for them. Amen.
Father, thank you for your regeneration. That you have made us and all of creation not to be annihilated, but to be restored and to be brought into perfect relationship with you. That all sin, that all defects, that all death will no longer be, but it will be perfection with you.
Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this community and this time that we have with you. Thank you for sending your Son to lay down his life for us so that despite our sins, despite our the fact that we've fallen short of your glory, that you welcome us with open arms into a new family and with a renewed sense of hope and joy despite the darkness that's in this world. I pray that everyone in this congregation will feel that freedom to worship you, not out of legalism or out of fear of any darkness that might come, but that we just have nothing but hope in Christ and trust in God that our future is set. We are secure in Christ and that we can be with God for eternity. And that's what we have to look forward to. In your name.
Father, I just want to thank you that our circumstances are not your circumstances. Lord, in your word it says in Jeremiah 29:11, I know, Father, that this has been quoted so many times, but it's the truth, Father, because it's from your word and it comes from you, Lord. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to bring you harm. Plans to give you hope in a future, and that future is within you, Lord Jesus. Our circumstances does not dictate our hope. But Lord God, it helps us to cling to the one who gives us hope. And Father, I thank you for your strength. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you, Lord, that you hold us, that we can boldly run to our majesty, our Father, where there is no shadow of turning. Holy One, Mighty King, we glorify you. We praise you. We thank you, Lord, that you have not given us, Lord, a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And our hope is in you, Lord. Doesn't matter what the world wants to give us. What matters, Lord, is that we have you, and you are everything. Thank you, Father.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' love and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Thank you, Jesus.
Father, my prayer today is your son's prayer, Lord. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, help us to grasp that we don't have to wait, Lord. Help us to be free from anything that's holding us back from you. I ask us for a heart of repentance in each one of us, Lord. Your kingdom starts now, your kingdom starts today, each one of us. And that can be our confident hope, Lord, that does not have to wait. We just ask that we will turn to you in our heart of repentance.
Wow, Lord, you are so beautiful, and you have given us so much. So much that you've given us a way to know you, to be eternal, to be with you, to have hope for the present, hope for the future. You love us so. We thank you, Lord. Our hope is in you.
God, your grace is sufficient for my sins, to take away my sins. Father, you have said your son's coming back. And it's not a maybe thing. It's he is coming back. You are going to set up your kingdom. And we get glimpses of your kingdom here because of what you're doing in your people. But one day your kingdom will be set up and you we will be in your presence. You will rule and reign and we will get to be with you. Father, thank you for hope. Thank you for the confident expectation that what your word says will come to pass. We can boldly enter the throne room of God. We can draw near to him. And we have a hope. So blessed be your name. Blessed be his name because there's a hope. So we should be compelled to draw near to God. We should be compelled to remember the hope that we have. The next thing that we should be compelled to do is found in verses 24 and 25 of Hebrews 10. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as the day approaches. We should be compelled to spur one another on to love and good deeds. The word for spur is usually used in a negative way, but in this passage, it's in the positive. And the word for spur means to motivate. So we are to motivate one another on to love and good deeds. So the question is, how do we motivate one another to love and good deeds? It starts with us drawing near to God. And as we draw near to God and let God transform our lives, let the gospel shape the way that we think, the way that we act, the way that we see people. It changes the way we treat people. And people will notice. So it starts with us drawing near to God. Then it goes to us recognizing the hope that we have. Because hope is infectious. When we have hope, when we're around people who have hope, it can be infectious. And we gain hope because we see what God is doing in and through them. The third thing is we are actively involved in one another's lives. We should not forsake the meeting together as some are doing. See, the way that we motivate, we spur one another on to love and good deeds is we engage in each other's lives. That's how it happens. When we have hope, the people we are around see that hope. When we're drawing near to God, the people that are around us that are seeing what God's doing, it compels them to draw near to God. Yesterday, I got this beautiful picture of this. One of my former students was coming in town. And he had called me this week and said, hey, I want to talk through a couple things with you. And so we set up a time to meet Saturday morning. And at the time that we decided to meet, he's sitting there. And two of his friends happened to be there at the same time. And they were sitting a little distance from him. So I sit down with this former student, and we're talking. His friends, who are also former students, are sitting to the right behind me. And I'm just talking life with this guy, and I'm seeing what God is doing in his life, and I've watched over the last 4 years how God has transformed this young man into a man that just loves Jesus, that is drawn to Jesus, that is compelled to follow Jesus and is leading others towards Jesus and just wants to be a young man that honors God with his life. So I'm sitting here listening to him talk, and I look behind me, and I see these two former students reading their Bibles. And I know them personally, and I know them and what God's doing in their lives. And I'm sitting there, and I'm in awe of what God's doing. Because all of a sudden, I have this hope. I see this hope. Because God says, he who began a good work will bring it to completion. And I'm looking at these former students and I'm saying, he's at work in them and he's bringing it to completion in their lives. And I get to be a part of it and I get to see it. And it compels me, it gives me hope. And I'm remembering what God has said. And I'm seeing how the three of them are drawing near to God. And it's compelling me to draw near to God. And I'm excited about, I want to know that God that they're excited about. And the good thing is I do know him, and we get to be excited together. And so when we live in community, we are able to compel one another to love and good deeds because we see what God is doing in each other's lives. That's why we come together. We come together on Sundays to proclaim our love and adoration to God, to recognize that we can boldly approach his throne, and we come together and we seek to honor him. And when we seek to honor him and what he's doing in our lives, we influence those that we're around. When we draw near, people see it and they want to draw near. But we have to be actively involved in each other's lives. That's why we do community groups. That's why we have affinity groups. That's why we meet on Sundays. Because God has called us all to draw near to him. Because we can boldly approach his throne. God has called us all to remember the hope that we have. And God has called us all to spur each other on to love and good deeds. And that has to be done in community. With one another. Loving each other. And it's interesting that when you read this and we talk through it, it really reflects what God has called Elam to be. An oasis for renewal with God and one another, where we come together and we recognize what God has called us to. We recognize that he wants to bring us into the relationship he created us for. And that as an oasis, we will nurture. We will create an environment where God is at work, and we are faithfully serving him, and God is at work, and We will nurture passionate followers of Jesus Christ who will know God, grow together in Christ, go and serve South Hill and beyond. When you look at the scriptures, you see, hey, wait a minute. That's what we're about. We are about the things of the Lord. We need to live in community, drawing near to God, boldly approaching His throne, remembering the hope we have, and spurring one another on to love and good deeds. So the question I have for you is this. Who are you spurring on to love and good deeds? Whose life are you actively involved with and you know what God is doing in them? Who's involved in your life that you've invited in? So we're going to have just a brief time of just reflection on answering this question. Whose life are you involved in? Who's involved in your life? How are you spurring each other on to love and good deeds? Because we have to have those people. Yesterday, we celebrated Helen's graduation, as Martin put it, to glory. And her son got up here and talked about Helen and how one of her fears is that she was a shy person. Yet as a shy person, she decided, I'm going to go to Venezuela. I'm going to get outside of myself and I'm going to serve and I'm going to love Jesus. And when you listen to the stories, this shy, amazing woman imprinted Jesus, the love for Jesus on so many people. So it's not an extrovert's thing. It's not an introvert's thing. It's an us thing. That Jesus transforms us and we love Him so much that we are compelled to speak into other people's lives, to spur them on, to motivate them to love and good deeds. So the question is, who is in your life that you're motivating to love and good deeds? So we'll have a brief just time of reflection on that. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We have many who have gone before us that have run this race together. Let us run together into the throne room of God. Let us draw near to Him. Remember the hope we have. And we've got all these fathers of the faith that we can point back to. Let us spur one another on to love and to good deeds in community. Because you can't love without other people. You need others to love. God, thank You for Your Word. Thank You that Your Word gives us perspective that sometimes we lose sight of. Lord, help us all to draw near to You. Lord, remind us of the hope that we have in You. And Lord, let us invite others in to our life to bring glory and honor to Your name because You are worthy. In Your name I pray. Amen.